Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The best old-time radio from people you trust. The Radio Nostalgia Network, where the oldies are still young.
It's Friday on Radio Memories, and that's when we enter an alternate dimension. Science Fiction Friday.
Brooklyn Bridge soared high above the East River. Its waters were black, liquid, shadow black. At the far end of the bridge were gates made from construction girders, 50 feet tall at least, massive things, and I saw why. They were holding the Triffids back. Great Scott, the size of those Triffids. They were giants.
There are 20 bridges that link the island with mainland America, built before the blinding, of course. All have barriers to keep the Triffids out.
Artillery too, I see.
Don't forget the TV cameras. The lady with the microphone wants to interview you.
How did they know? Ah. I've been set up, haven't I?
Mr. Mason, welcome to New York.
Thank you.
You're the first European visitor here for years. Can you give our viewers your impression of the city? Quite something, isn't she?
The camera loomed towards my face as I admired the skyscrapers and praised the sheer energy of the city's population. Instinct gifted me a modicum of diplomacy. I didn't mention those vile signs that discriminated against entire swathes of its citizens. I talked about the contrast between bustling New York and the Isle of Wight, such a sleepy rural backwater in comparison. The reporter, meanwhile, checked her watch, then invited me to comment on the Triffids that besieged the city. As I spoke, I gazed at the battalion of Triffids on the far shore. They crowded down to the river's edge, giving the impression of some evil-looking mangrove swamp. I shivered. An horrific vision gripped me of them pouring into New York's streets. There they find such sweet morsels of humanity.
Mr. Mason? We're going to demonstrate how New York deals with those green critters. Cover your ears.
Shells rained down onto the Triffids. Tremendous explosions sent fountains of green pulp high into the air. An impressive show of force. Futile, of course. So, a few Triffids were destroyed. For the millions of Triffids out there, however, it was barely a pinprick. Kerris and I rode the elevator in the Empire State Building, all the way up to the dizzying height of the 101st floor. Great Scott, the spectacle that is Manhattan after dark. An ocean of light. We entered a comfortable lounge area full of beautifully attired men and women. Kerris wore an elegant evening gown in jade silk. She spoke quite casually when she gave me some startling information.
At the last count, I have 115 brothers and exactly 100 sisters.
Excuse me?
I thought I'd tell you now in case my father mentions the fact and it comes as something of a shock. Ah, here he is. I'll introduce you. Dad, this is David Mason. David, my father, General Fielding.
I saw a tall, silver-haired man in profile. Aged around 60, he stood ramrod straight. He'd been talking to a man in uniform. However, the moment Kerris spoke, he turned to face her. I almost flinched. The clean profile I'd first seen had been undoubtedly handsome. The left-hand side of his face couldn't have been more different. The left eye was yellow, the same bright yellow as egg yolk. It had a fierce black pupil in the center. I recognized the condition. Yellow eye, caused by a splash of triffid venom that hasn't been treated quickly enough. In that eye, Kerris's father would be quite blind.
Good to meet you, Mr. Mason. Delighted to have you as a guest here.
Honored to meet you, sir.
I told David that there'd be a welcome party tonight. I don't think he appreciates that New York is so excited to have a visitor.
And one from England. Mr. Mason, as you can tell, I'm English too, though I crossed the Atlantic decades ago. Now, you might wonder why I'm Fielding and Kerris's surname is Baedeker.
Baedeker is the name of the nursery complex where I was raised.
Different nation, different customs. We'll sit here, enjoy the view.
People were already sitting on the sofa. However, they quickly vacated their seats when they saw the city's leader approach. A waitress immediately served us glasses of white wine. General Fielding began speaking in a way that suggested he prepared an agenda of vital topics. After chatting about the lack of daylight, he got to what he clearly saw as the really important stuff. The Isle of Wight economy, its military capabilities, and most important of all...
We can't make gasoline. That's one of our direst problems. Will you show us how to refine Triffid oil into fuel?
We can produce petrol and aviation fuel on an industrial scale, but...
But you won't reveal its secret.
I wouldn't know how to build a processor. It's a very complex machine.
Dad, he's a pilot, not a scientist.
Apologies, my dear. It's just that we need good quality fuel. Blasted wood alcohol we're forced to use kills engines.
I'm sure my people will help you build a processor.
That's such a weight off my mind. In truth, our survival depends on finding decent fuel. More wine, David?
Don't forget me, Dad.
No longer my little girl. A beautiful woman, isn't that so, David?
Well,
David, out of that window, what do you see? Skyscrapers, cars, happy people. Nevertheless, this is a tiny, tiny oasis of civilization in an entire desert of savagery. One dominated by the Triffid.
It's a remarkable city.
Yet our safety here is so fragile. Not just Triffids. We're constantly attacked by the Quintling faction. Those are people who lived here once, but were nothing more than gangsters, so we ran them out of town. But they keep coming back.
That striking man with the yellow eye grew quite emotional when he talked about Quintling acts of violence against New York. He said that deriving aviation fuel from Triffid sap would allow him to use aircraft to strike back at those thugs. He then mused rather poetically about a future golden age when hitherto reclusive communities of survivors would link hands across oceans in order to defeat the Triffid and reclaim the Earth. What he said next sent my heart pounding with excitement.
David, next week a ship will sail from here to the Isle of Wight. You'll be on it. You're going home, my friend, and Kerris will be with you. My daughter will be New York's ambassador of peace.
So, David, happy to be going home?
You must have known about this.
I did submit a request to sail with you.
You want to come to the Isle of Wight with me?
What do you think?
I think I'd like that more than I can put into words.
Pleased to hear it. Which proves that words do have their uses. Sometimes, though, words aren't required at all, are they?
There are gestures.
Or a way of looking at someone.
Or this.
I was getting tired of English reserve. I thought you'd never do that. Oh, darn it.
The city lights went out as the sirens wailed. Total blackout. Following that, searchlights. Dozens of them. They blazed upward into the night sky, probing. searching.
They're trying to light up the Quintling bombers.
This really is an air raid. Oh. What's that for?
I like kissing you. And while the lights are out.
Goodness. You're a cool customer.
Thank God. I've been looking everywhere for the two of you.
Gabriel.
Gabe, what's wrong?
Come this way. I want the pair of you off the main street and out of sight.
Why? What if we...
I must warn you. The pair of you are in danger.
Who from?
Look, keep moving. I've got to get you to the hotel.
Ah! Gabe! Why did you shoot him? As I tried to struggle free from our attackers to help Gabriel, I felt a sharp prick in my shoulder. My body became suddenly heavier and I found myself falling forward into absolute fathomless darkness. Woke in a hut. No windows, plank walls, lamp burning on the floor beside me. And when I examined my arm, puncture marks all clustered round a vein. I'd been drugged. So, where was I now?
Come with me. Don't try running away.
Who are you? Where are you taking me?
Come.
Must you point that gun at me? Okay, I guess you must. I stepped out into sunlight, the strongest I'd seen in a long time. The young woman gestured with the machine gun to keep me moving. The place resembled a military camp, huts encircled by a stout perimeter fence. And beyond the fence, Triffids. Thousands of Triffids.
Keep walking.
You're not taking me to a blood-stained post, complete with firing squad. Hardly talkative, are you?
Stand next to this vehicle. Sam, this is Mason. What do you want me to do with him?
Good morning, Mr. Mason. My name's Sam Dimes. Oh, won't you shake hands? No? I can't say I blame you, fella. I'd be a mite sore at being shot full of hooey and carried off into the night, too. You feeling okay? No cramps, no...
I'm well enough, considering.
Say, you're not gonna slug me, are you? No? Okay, let me fire up old Jumbo here.
Dimes was mid-30s, tall with blonde hair and bright blue eyes. He sat inside the most remarkable machine I've ever clapped eyes on. Resembling a metal elephant, it possessed a bulbous cabin, while a long trunk of sorts, cast from steel, projected from the front.
Sound great, doesn't she? Jump aboard, please. I need to show you something.
I sat in the other front seat alongside Dimes, who drove this tank of a machine. That's when I could contain my fury no longer.
Why the hell did you bring me here?
I need to show you something important. Hold on, once we're through the gates, it gets a tad bumpy.
No, hell damn it! Why have you brought me to this place? Why did you kill my friend, and what in God's name have you done with Karis?
Karis? She's fine.
How do you know that?
Trust me on that one.
She's here?
No.
Your thugs murdered my friend.
Believe me, fatalities weren't our intention.
What was your intention?
to bring you safely here, in the deep south of the U.S. of A.
Okay, Dimes. Why am I here?
I hope that will soon become plain. Excuse me. Time for some pest control.
This machine, the Jumbo, reached a large gate, which three men hauled open, letting us through. Ahead, Triffids closed in, moving in that jerking way. These plants were 10 feet tall and were obviously drawn to the sound of our machine. Dimes gripped a joystick and pressed a red button.
One thing we've got that those darn weeds haven't. Fire. Glorious fire.
The Jumbo's flamethrower bathed the Triffids in fire. Green leaves blackened, stingers turned to ash. Those venomous plants tottered and fell.
When you toast a few trips, the others skedaddle.
Doesn't stop them trying to sting us.
Safe as houses. Toughened glass.
A mechanized Triffid destroyer. Impressive. Why are you so niggardly with the answers to my questions?
My apologies, Mr. Mason.
What do you call yourselves?
The Quintling Faction.
I've heard of you. You're pirates, murderers.
Joshua Quintling was one of the founders of the New York community. General Fielding came along, threw him out of office, and became a dictator.
And the Quintling Faction ended up here?
Not exactly. Fielding ordered one of his warships to attack Quintling's boat as he left New York. Quintling's wife and son were killed. You don't believe me, do you, Mr. Mason?
Hardly. You kidnapped me and murdered my friend. What now? Will you turf me out of this machine and leave me here as Triffid food?
Say what? Well, you think we risked our necks bringing you from New York just to bring you here to feed you to the Triffids?
Well, why did you bring me here?
We knew that you were going to sail to England with the peace delegation. What you didn't know is that behind you, just out of sight, will be General Fielding's warships. Mason, we saved your people from being invaded.
You're lying.
Well, hold on there, fella. Now, I brought you here to show you something important. That's what I'm damn well gonna do. All clear. Nearest Triff's 500 yards away. We'll use the Jumbo's roof as our viewing platform. Stand on that toolbox and haul yourself up through the hatch.
Soon we stood side by side on the Jumbo's back. The Triffids were still a safe distance away, though some had already begun lurching in our direction. Dimes had stopped the Jumbo on a hill overlooking a valley. I could see a river, meadows, and thousands of Triffids.
We've got enough time before our green buddies arrive. Here, take these binoculars. Say, it's great to have real sunlight again. You know, we had darkness 10 days straight. Made the Triffids so antsy they were climbing over each other to try and break into our camp. See anything yet, Mr. Mason?
Triffids, a ruined church, and smoke from a settlement.
Look beyond the bend in the river.
Canoe on the riverbank, and 7, 8 timber cabins. Good Lord. What the hell's happening down there? They're going to be killed.
What do you see, exactly?
There are people down there in the valley. I see children playing in a grove of Triffids. They're not even looking at the plants.
The plants don't notice them either.
This isn't right. This is
impossible.
Absolutely. Unless it's an after-effect of that dope your thugs pumped into me. Am I hallucinating?
Those people down there are Native American Indians from the Algonquin tribe. See that boy climbing the Triffid's trunk?
Have the plant stingers been knocked off?
Nope. The simple fact is that those people are immune to the venom. Triffids cannot harm them.
That should be a killing ground. Those people are living down there like it's the Garden of Eden.
Just imagine. What if we were as fortunate as the Algonquin? Why, we could stroll right out there, back into the world again.
Once we were safely back in the compound, I became the target of a charm offensive. As we dined on fried chicken and potatoes, Sam Dimes chatted in that friendly, easygoing way of his. He explained how they built the camp here beside a river estuary, and that this community was just one of a loose federation that peppered the American mainland. He was particularly proud of a large stock of aviation fuel he'd located recently. Ah, and Dimes had some news for me.
Mr. Mason, there's no more armed guard for you. Make yourself at home. Just wander around this camp any way and anywhere you please. Say, is that apple pie and cream? Oh, I love apple pie.
Mr. Dimes,
Call me Sam, for mercy's sake. Hey, Westy, may I have a slice of your delicious apple pie? What's that you're asking, Mr. Mason?
Drop the Mr. Mason. It's David.
Thanks, David.
After you drugged me, how did you bring me here?
By submarine. Oh, that pie looks scrumptious. Much obliged, Westy.
This morning, you showed me an American Indian tribe that are immune to Triffid venom. They're not unique.
Oh?
I told Sam about the flight that ended catastrophically on Weed Island. However, the saving grace was that I had found Christina Schofield. It didn't occur to me until today. How could it? I've never heard of anyone being immune to a Triffid sting before. But I suspect that Christina is...
immune. Yes, I agree. Those plants can't hurt her.
You know a lot about what happens elsewhere.
Intelligence is worth a dozen battleships. We also know that General Fielding has ordered a huge operation, codenamed Avalanche. He plans to impregnate women using fertilized eggs taken from Christina's ovaries, which will then be implanted into other women. Fertility drugs will stimulate multiple births.
Great Scott! How do you know all this?
Well, we know plenty. Fielding is hell-bent on breeding folk that are immune to Triffid venom. The offspring will become an army that will enable him to conquer and dominate. Christina will undergo the surgical version of a death of a thousand cuts. She'll be mothered to a super race, but she'll never live to see her children. You know, David, I don't have an appetite for this pie anymore.
If this is true, then General Fielding is a tyrant. A monster.
Do you believe what I'm telling you?
Possibly.
Maybe you believe somebody you've known all your life.
I don't understand.
Here. We traded 10 gallons of gasoline for this. Recognize it?
Goodness. It's the book my father wrote after the blinding.
Yep. William Mason. The most accurate account of civilization going belly up.
Oh, this was printed using an old press found in a barn. But what's this book got to do with trying to convince me that General Fielding is a tyrant?
Your father knew General Fielding, but by a different name. Torrance.
I read about Torrance in my father's book. Torrance was known better than a gangster. My mother and father escaped from him 25 years ago.
Your father used Triffids to slow Torrance's pursuit. Torrance got himself sprayed with Triffid venom. Cost the man a sight in one eye.
And somehow Torrance fetched up in New York, where he changed his name to Fielding.
And he's got one hell of a chip on his shoulder. He blames your father for the loss of his eye.
He must have known that I was William Mason's son.
Absolutely. He intended exploiting you.
But I know Fielding's... that is, Torrance's daughter. I know her very well.
Precisely. You're both pawns in Fielding's strategy to conquer the Isle of Wight. That way, he grabs the machine which turns Triffid sap into petroleum. What's more, he gets those brutal, vengeful hands of his on your mother and father.
Then permit me one radio message. Just one, please.
Sorry, David, no can do.
I need to send a warning back home to the Isle of Wight.
Fielding has warships looking for this settlement. If they detect our broadcast and get a fix, his boats will storm up that river spitting fire and fury. And we'd be wiped out.
Frustrating, yet Sam had a point. Yes, I'd heard plenty about General Fielding's brutal ways, his draconian segregation. Yes, I believed he was a tyrant. What's more, I now knew my father had tangled with Fielding decades ago when he was known as Torrance. As evil then as he is today. The days passed. I began to relax somewhat, and I found myself getting on well with Jasmine, the machine-gun-toting young woman who I'd first thought was my jailer. sparkly-eyed, pretty with an impish sense of humour. She'd often tease me.
David, that wolf's already dead, you know. You can't kill it all over again.
I'm just letting off steam, Jasmine.
Can think of more enjoyable ways to do that.
Oh, like those men over there. Whatever, playing basketball.
I'm talking about, you know, fun.
Oh. I didn't, What's happening? Triffids!
No! Look downriver! That's our submarine! Sweet Lord! She must have been attacked! The conning tower's been blown to hell!
Sam, what happened?
Our sub took a hammer from the shore batteries. David, if you want to parley, you gotta run with me.
The submarine's been to New York?
We tried to rescue Christine. Sorry, we failed miserably. Jasmine, bring morphine to the jetty. Everything we've got. Please hurry.
Sam's people had already begun to repair the damaged submarine by the time I walked into the canteen a few hours later. Believe me, I had plenty on my mind. Christina, the feral girl I'd found floating on the island, had become a vital part of Fielding's plan for nothing less than world domination. I felt responsible for her, and I'd failed to protect her.
David, try this apple pie. David?
Huh? Sorry, I was miles away.
David, sit down next to that giant there. Say, why are you staring at him like he's just stepped out of that apple pie?
Great Scott!
Meet our man in New York.
Hey, David! Yeah, how's your table tennis these days?
Good grief! Gabriel! You were shot! I saw it!
You saw an Oscar-winning performance. I set it all up. Blank rounds, fake blood, everything. See, I knew General Fielding was going to use you as a Trojan horse, as it were. Now, with Karis believing I'd been murdered, and therefore not suspecting I was part of the plot to get you away from New York, I vanished until it was time for me to rendezvous with the squad who were going to rescue Christina.
Is Karis all right?
Oh, she's safe.
But does she know whether I'm alive or dead?
Karis is Fielding's daughter. Too risky telling her anything about what happened to you.
Don't you trust her?
We have undercover people in New York, and their lives wouldn't be worth that if Fielding discovers who they are.
She'll be worried sick.
You two are an item. We know that also.
Gabriel Deeds explained how they tried to rescue Christina. However, she'd been spirited away. And when his team attempted to rejoin the submarine after dark, it had been spotted by sentries. Even though the vessel had escaped, it had been severely damaged.
We had to limp home on the surface. There was so much damage to the hull, we couldn't submerge. Believe me, I... What?
People must have followed the sub back. They found us.
Jeez, look at the river. This is bad, Sam. As bad as it gets.
Take cover!
Trails of white foam appeared on that muddy river as landing craft surged toward the beach, guns spitting fire. Our camp was under attack, and we were outnumbered.
I know what they did. When we were getting the head out of New York in the sub, they only winged it. They never wanted to sink the thing. They figured on following us back here.
And by heaven, they found us.
Okay, Sam, how do we save our people from getting blown to kingdom come?
That wasn't going to be easy. Big shells came screaming in from a gunboat to gouge out craters. Machine guns on landing craft raked the huts, shattering windows and punching holes in walls.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.